You get your outline out so that you can follow along with today's message. You know, I always think of the new year as a field of freshly fallen snow. No dirt, no tracks, no dog doo-doo, nothing out there yet. It's just nice and fresh and clean. And always with hopes that it's going to stay that way. Well, the other day, I was looking at my keychain. This is my keychain. My actual keychain. It's not just a prop. It's the real thing. And I happened to notice that, my keys are here, my car keys, house key, key to the church, different things like that. I've got this little thing with knives on it to cut when I need to. I have my CVS and my Kroger and my Meijer card and my Shelby Township library card, which I make use of quite a bit. But I also happened to notice that there were a couple of keys on this chain that I couldn't think of the use of. And scratching my head, I was thinking, well, is it something in my house? Something in my garage? Something here at church? Maybe snowblower? No. Suitcase? No. Couldn't figure it. Couldn't think of what these couple keys belong to. And then I thought, well, I probably should take them off my chain, right? And who wants to carry around a couple of keys that have no use? But then again, you never know. I mean, I'd hate to get rid of these couple of keys and then discover that, you know, they unlock something very important, inheritance or some great, you know, buried treasure or something. And so I figured, well, maybe I'll just keep them on the chain a little while longer and, you know, just see what turns up. Actually, I have a confession to make. I've had this discussion before with myself. I've discovered these keys and couldn't think of what they were used for. And so I just said, well, I'll just, you know, stuff them back into my pocket and see if I come up with a use for them. You know, I think that for many people, church is like those two keys on my chain. Most people have this sense, at least if they were raised in a church, that church has some kind of a purpose, something important. But whatever it is or was seems to have escaped them. When this happens, it's really tragic because when we don't know the purpose for the church, we can't fulfill the mission that Jesus gave to us. It's the most important mission ever given to human beings. Let me show it to you. After Jesus arose from the dead, he appeared to his disciples, and he said these words. They're found in Matthew chapter 28, beginning at verse 19. And when we come to the yellow print, that's your cue to read aloud with me. Jesus said, "Therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." In these two key verses, Jesus gives us two key promises, purposes, I should say, for the church, our mission, his marching orders to us before he ascended into heaven. And these two key purposes can be summed up in two key words: more and better. More and better. Not just more, not just better, but more and better. If you're a member here at Stony Creek Church, or even a regular attender, these two words should be very familiar to you. Let's look at how these fit in with what Jesus said, the two key words. First of all, key number one, Jesus said, go and make disciples of all nations. That's the more part, more followers, all nations. Keep making disciples until you've made disciples of all nations. Obviously, this mission is not complete while there's still one person on earth who doesn't know Christ as Lord and Savior. And of course, we know that's many more than just one person. And then, of course, there's key number two, where Jesus says, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. That, of course, refers to the better of the two words, more and better. By baptizing people and teaching people to obey Jesus, we help them to know him better and obey him better and be better followers of Jesus. Folks, these two things sum up the purpose, the mission of the church universal, all Christians, not just our church. But certainly it includes our church and it includes you. This is our purpose here on earth, given to us by none other than Jesus himself. Everything we do here at Stony Creek Church is aimed at one of these purposes or the other, or in some cases, some of our activities are aimed at both. The worship that we do, the children's ministry, the youth ministry, the teaching, even the ushering and the greeting at the door, everything is done in some way or another to contribute to the advance of those two purposes. In 2011, we're going to employ two key strategies. Notice two keys keep showing up in my message today. Two key strategies to help us make more and better. But we need to do it as a team. And that's what we're going to look at here today. Two key strategies for making more and better at Stony Creek Church in 2011. And the first of these two key strategies is number one on your outline. Participate in each, capital E-A-C-H, each to make more followers. Think of this for a moment. How many relatives and friends do you know who have not yet come to trust in Jesus Christ as personal Lord and Savior? I would like you to raise your hand if you are in regular contact with at least one such person. All right? You're in regular contact with at least one person who doesn't know the Lord. So many hands went up. That person needs the salvation that Jesus bled on the cross to pay for. Without Christ's salvation, ladies and gentlemen, listen to me, without Christ's salvation, that person will spend eternity in hell. God loves that person. He loved that person enough to come here to earth to show us what God is like. He loved that person enough to go to the cross, bearing the punishment for that person's sins, and then to be raised from the dead. Christ has purchased that person's ticket to heaven, and now he offers it as a free gift free of charge. But that person somehow has to be convinced of his or her need for that gift. That he or she needs it so badly that without it, that person will spend eternity apart from God in a place the Bible calls hell. Jesus himself taught this. The ticket has been paid for that person. Jesus purchased the ticket to heaven, the ticket of salvation. It's been paid for by his death on the cross. But each person needs to receive that ticket in order for that ticket to work for that person. Our job, our duty, is to convince people that they need to receive that ticket. But how? How do we do that? It's hard, isn't it? If you've ever witnessed to friends and relatives, you know that this can be very difficult. Wouldn't it be neat if all of us could work together to win that person to Christ? Not just everybody here at Stony Creek Church, but let's say all the Christians here in the Detroit area. Wouldn't it be great if all of us were together praying and planning and working toward bringing that person and all the people in this area that don't know Christ, bring that person to Christ? Well, that's the idea behind each. Each stands for everyone a chance to hear. Each is an outreach campaign. And it is comprised of, right now, 250 Christian organizations and churches here in the Metro Detroit area, including Stony Creek Church. We're a part of this outreach. And to give you a better idea of what each is about, I'd like you to see and hear it from the original visionary of each. His name is Bob Chirac. He's the lead pastor of Oak Point Church in Novi. And we're going to watch a little DVD clip of him. All right, let's watch it.
So I have this friend in Africa by the name of Bekele. He's an Ethiopian. And he's been in charge of ministry in 23 countries of southern and eastern Africa. And God laid a vision on Bekele's heart one day to reach 50 million people in 50 major cities in 50 days. That's incredible when you think about it, 50 million people. So for 2 years, they prayed, they planned, he networked, he brought together church leaders, parachurch leaders all over the continent, all over the world, in fact. Operation Sunrise Africa in 2001, 2002 was the biggest saturation campaign ever to hit Africa. They reached 64.5 million people in 50 days with the gospel.
Greater things are yet to come.
So I'm watching all this with my friend, Bekele, and I come home here to Michigan, and I drive 3 miles from my home to my church, and I drive by thousands of homes and tens of thousands of people who have absolutely no idea what's going on in our church building every weekend. And I get the feeling, I look at these homes, I look at these cars, I look at these high schools, and I think, I just don't think I've worked hard enough to really give everyone a chance to hear.
There is no one like our God.
Now, over the past 3 months, I've been sharing this idea, everyone a chance to hear, with pastors all throughout Detroit and the suburbs, and it is incredible. The buy-in, the passion. Probably hundreds of churches now in the last 3 months have told me they're in and want to be part of giving their neighborhoods and their city, everyone, a chance to hear. God might be preparing southeastern Michigan for the biggest evangelistic campaign that has ever been attempted. Time Magazine just recently did an almanac of top stories from 2009. and Detroit got three pages in there. And the opening line in that was, Detroit is an icon of the failed American city. And three pages of bad news. The end of the Almanac article said, the world is watching Detroit to see if it finds a way to rise from the ashes. And the world is watching us, southeastern Michigan. They've seen us go down. But what if the world saw churches throughout this region coming together for a massive campaign showing Detroit and the suburbs the love of Christ and sharing the gospel in ways that have never been done before? I think it could be incredible. I think the Spirit is preparing this region and churches and church leaders for something like this, coming together, working together, strategizing, praying, planning, and executing a campaign where we saturate this region with the message of Christ. And that's the vision of Everyone a Chance to Hear. It's reaching kids and families and people who are far from God.
I've been excited about EACH ever since I heard about it. The more I think and pray about it, the more excited I get. I'm excited because it provides us an opportunity to come together as churches in the metro area, large, small, different denominations. It provides us the opportunity as well of taking the message of Jesus Christ to this region and really making a difference. I'm excited that this isn't an event, this is a movement. I'm excited that this is a possibility then for God to do some amazing things, and all of us as churches and church leaders get to be a part of it.
Pastors and church leaders, I want to encourage you to get involved in the EACH initiative. Opportunities like this come around once in a generation to see the church united, to glorify Jesus Christ, and to see revival sweep through our region. I believe is not only a local story, but an international story. Remember, on our own, we're limited, but together, we can do great things. So I hope you'll join us as we reach this region for Jesus Christ.
I really think what we're talking about with EACH is the best idea that we have had as a people of God in the greater Metro Detroit area for the last 35 years. And I could not be more excited. I really think this is an opportunity for us to come together as Christian leaders, as Christian people, and see Jesus honored in this region. I cannot wait.
When I first heard about the vision called EACH, Everyone a Chance to Hear, my heart jumped for joy, because for 10 years as a church planner, as a pastor, we had been trying to reach our community for Christ. The efforts that we had done, the strategies that we put together, the plans that we had come up with over the years while we touched people, we reached parts of the community, we knew that we just weren't doing enough. And so when I began to hear about EACH, where there's going to be a unified effort with all of the church leaders and all the pastors and parachurch organizations in Metro Detroit to go out with prayerful strategies and great plans to go out and reach all of our region for Christ, my heart was overjoyed, because I knew that what I've been dreaming about for 10 years was now about to come to fruition. What a blessing it is to be a part of this dynamic move of God, and I'm believing God for great things. I'm grateful that our church doesn't have to go out here and do it by ourselves, but we're going to partner with other churches, other like-minded men and women of God that understand that the only way we're going to change our region, the only way we're going to change our city and our state and our country, is by bringing the gospel of Jesus Christ to all of the world and to all of the nation. I'm excited to be a part of EACH, and I pray that you, as you see this video, this infomercial, that you too will join us and partner with us and join in what God is doing here in our great state and our great region.
Isn't that neat? Isn't that great? Man, that is so exciting. The people of God in this metro area working together to reach our lost neighbors, relatives, friends, co-workers for Jesus Christ. This This is really an exciting thing, and I think it would be a shame for this to be happening and not to be a part of it. And so the leaders here at Stony, including myself, the staff and the elders, have, after a lot of prayer and careful consideration, realize that this is an opportunity we really need to jump onto and to really give ourselves to this. I've been meeting with other local pastors, and as the time gets closer, more and more details about this will be made known to you. Think of it, hundreds of churches and Christian organizations across this metro area working together in prayer and strategy and effort to reach people for Christ. Think of what God may be up to. Turning Detroit around. Turning our churches around. Turning Stony Creek around. Turning you and me around in a great and glorious way. This is a pivotal event. Let me share with you just the basic timeline for each. First of all, in October that just passed, 2010, to April of 2011, obviously we're in this period right now, this is the time for team and strategy development on the timeline. That means that we're building a prayer network, and we're working together at getting other churches on board, other church leaders. We're planning and strategizing. What are the best ways to carry this out? Then, beginning on February 13th through March 26th, we'll have 6 weeks of messages and training. Every church that's involved in this will be spending this time in training its people. This will be a time to learn about how to share our faith with non-Christians and how to reach out. And here at Stony Creek Church on Sundays, that's what I'm going to be teaching you about. Our small groups are going to be working together with this effort. And then April 24th is sort of the peak of this. This is sort of the kickoff, the initiation, Easter Sunday for each. And beginning then at April 24th through June 3rd, this is the gospel saturation campaign. All the people of the 250 so far churches and organizations are going to spend this time reaching out to our friends and neighbors. Now, how are we going to do that? Well, just in general terms right now, corporately, we're planning a march on 8 Mile Road. The cities will be closing down a section of 8 Mile Road. And think of it, thousands and thousands of Christians marching down 8 Mile Road with plenty of media coverage and very joyously and, of course, peacefully making known our desire to reach out to people. This, of course, is meant to be a corporate witness. So that's kind of something we all do together. But then individually, we're going to be obviously sharing the gospel with friends, neighbors, and relatives. And of course, this is the most important part of the strategy, other than prayer, is just that each of us reach out to others. Just in our daily working with people, whether at school or on the job or over the fence in the neighborhood, we'll make a concerted effort to be doing that. And then a third thing is practically. We'll be doing different servant evangelism little projects to show God's love in practical ways to people. There's different talk of different t-shirts we could all wear and yard signs that we put out in our yard that show people in the neighborhood that we're part of this. Things that would raise some awareness and get people asking questions. There'll be more about that later. And then finally, on June 12th is the celebration services, perhaps at Ford Field and maybe some other locations, to thank God, to praise Him for what He has done among us. That's the timeline. Sound good? All right. Well, maybe you're thinking, well, what's my part? What do I need to do? Well, I'm going to ask you to do two things particularly. Number one, and this is something you can do starting right now, that is to pray. To pray for the leaders, the strategies, the preparation of hearts. Pray. Nothing of eternal profit can happen apart from prayer. This is the real power of the church, folks. I have said for years that Stony Creek is an army that marches forward on its knees to the glory of God. And so this has to be front and center in everything we do. Otherwise, it's just a big waste of time and effort. Pray. And so I'm asking you to make this a regular item on your prayer list. Just something to pray about on a regular basis, to include this, the each campaign, to pray for the leaders, the strategies, the preparation of hearts. I'll be updating you in the pastor's prayer letter on different things and giving you specific items to pray for. Secondly, participate. Participate in the six-week training sessions. That just means come out to church. Here on Sundays, in your small groups. Also, participate by sharing your faith. We'll be teaching you how to do that, but obviously you need to do it. I need to do it. We all need to do it. And of course, this is something we need to do all the time, but especially during this concentrated effort. And then finally, show God's love in practical ways. And we'll be giving different suggestions and projects as how to do that, to show your neighbor through acts of kindness the love of Christ. This EACH campaign is your opportunity to get involved on three levels: the community level, the church level, and then the self level. All right, all three of those levels. And I'm asking you to pray and to participate. Okay? So that's our first key strategy for making more and better followers at Stony Creek Church in 2011. But there's a second strategy, and that is point number two on your outline, and that is to participate in foundations to make better followers. All right? Foundations is a course that I am teaching at our 9:30 service. It's all about grounding you in the basic truths of Christianity so that you'll know not only what you believe, but why you believe it. Some time ago, I heard about a couple with a young daughter who's severely mentally handicapped. And this young lady will never have more than the mentality of a three-month-old baby. It's a real tragic situation. And a few years back, the parents of this little one became very concerned that as she grows up, they will not be able to care for her properly. It'll become difficult to care for her, just, you know, to pick her up, to do the kinds of things. When she's little, of course, it's much easier. And so they did something rather radical with their doctors. They had surgery performed on this little girl so that she'll never grow physically. She'll never grow. Her name is Ashley. This is what she looked like a couple few years ago. She's 12 years old now. But she'll never be more than about 4 foot 5 inches. She'll never weigh more than 75 pounds. I think she weighs a little less than that now. And, you know, this is a real dilemma, but it just sounds so sad to me. So incredibly sad. All living things are supposed to grow. To stop a child from growing, they actually have to perform a surgery on her to make that happen. But you know, folks, as I contemplated this situation, it occurred to me that if you're a believer in Jesus Christ, to stop growing spiritually, you don't have to have any kind of an operation. You just have to do nothing, and you will not grow. That's true. It's not like the physical body that grows whether you want it to or not. And if you're like me, you don't want it to grow too much once you get older, right? But with Christians, if you're a believer in Jesus Christ, to stop growing spiritually, this is tragic. It's as sad as a child's body that has stopped growing. Each Christian needs to take personal responsibility for growing in Christ. Well, how does a Christian grow in Christ? How does he grow spiritually? Well, there are a number of things. Number one, get baptized. You remember that's what Jesus said in the passage. That was the first thing he pointed out, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. First step of obedience. Secondly, learn to pray. In other words, learn to talk with God. If you're going to have a relationship with him, you're going to have to communicate. Another thing is learn to worship with other Christians at church. Worship is foundational to the Christian life. Another thing, learn to obey God's word. That means doing the right thing and avoiding the wrong thing. Obedience, very basic. Another thing is to learn to serve in a ministry that God has equipped you with a spiritual gift. Yes, you individually is equipped with a spiritual gift, at least one, to serve the body of Christ, the church. And by doing that, it's one of the things that helps you to grow spiritually. Another thing is to learn to give financially to God's work and to the needy. This is another crucial area of growth in the Christian life. Another is to learn to love and forgive others, including your enemies, including your friends, including your spouse, right? To learn to love and forgive. And then another one is to live a pure life, a life of honesty, a life of decency, a life of integrity. This is basic. This is part of growing in the Christian life. And then the final one I have here on the list is learn God's word, the Bible, front to back, Genesis to Revelation. This is crucial. This last one on the list, learning God's word, is really foundational to all of the above. Why? Why? Because, obviously, the Bible is what tells us how to do everything else on the list. God's word. Remember what Jesus said. Let's look back at that verse again in Matthew 28. He says, teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. Look at that first word, teaching. Teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. That's what's in the word. Jesus lumps everything together in the Christian life under teaching. I like that because I'm a teacher of the word. learning to obey his commands. Now, at our 9:30 service, I'm teaching my foundations class, as I mentioned, a class that I personally developed several years ago that surveys Bible doctrine. The manual for the class is 221 pages of printed notes that I have put together personally. The class will ground you in the Christian faith so that you will know why you believe, what you believe. Some of the most frequently asked questions about God, about the Bible, about Christian beliefs are answered in this course. You'll not only learn the answers, but how to support your answers. We're going to take our time and we're going to have lots of discussion and debate. You're going to learn a lot. And if you don't attend the 9:30 service regularly, I want to ask you to try it out for a while. The Foundations Manual costs $15. It's just to cover the cost of producing it. And you can place your order. There are order forms back there. Or see Mary Morang, our office manager here. Where is Mary? There she is. See that lady with the waving arm. All right? If you don't have a book. And place that, maybe you want to just write it on a response card that you'd like a book and Mary can get with you. Our 9:30 service is where we dig deeper into the Word of God to get equipped. It's where we take our time to get really serious about growing ourselves. It's our version of Sunday school. And so if you really want to grow in the Word, take this seriously and try it out. College age, young people. I know I'm getting old when I start calling them young people. But I don't know what else to call them. College age people, all right? Musicians, vocalists. Love to have you as a part of this. Those of you who don't normally attend the 9:30 service, whoever you are, you're all welcome. Another way to get involved in this effort to equip you in your faith is to attend a small group. We have a number of small group Bible studies that meet for obviously Bible study and prayer and fellowship, usually every other week. And this year, these groups are emphasizing knowing and defending your faith. And so if you're not in a group, check out the list on our website, stonycreekchurch.org. It's all the address you need, stonycreekchurch.org. Make sure you know Stony has no E, all right? Some of you have been writing checks to Stony Creek Church for years with the E in the Stony. There's no E in Stony here at our church. StonyCreekChurch.org. Or you can check out the display on the back table there for a group near you. The kids here in Adventureland and the youth in their youth meetings are going through their version of this kind of material to equip them and to prepare them for their faith. And so make a resolution. It's the time of year for resolutions. Make sure you keep this one to get those kids out to their classes and their activities so they can get equipped as they need to. Which brings us to our main idea. The one thing you need to remember if you forget everything else that I say, and that is make more and better followers of Jesus at Stony Creek Church in 2011. We're just talking about doing what Jesus said to do. Make more and better, not just more, not just better, but more and better followers of Jesus. Amen? Amen. Amen. That's the mission Jesus has given us. Will you take part in it at Stony Creek Church? We're trying to make the access easy and meaningful for you. Here. Join us. Remember my hapless keychain. All right? Don't be like those two keys. All right? You got to know your purpose and revel in it. We're going to close our service here in just a minute or two. I'm going to ask the ushers to prepare for this morning's offering. And musicians going to come up and lead us in a closing here. But if you're here today and you're in spiritual need, maybe you've never made that initial commitment to trust Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, or maybe you're hurting in some way and you need some prayer or some spiritual counsel, please, we have our pastoral prayer team down here after the service, ready to talk with you and pray with you. And so take advantage of that. Also, if you're not in need of that, stick around afterward and enjoy some goodies down the hall. All right? Why don't we pray? Father, thank you for giving us so much. Most of all, your Son, Jesus, who paid for our redemption on the cross and rose from the dead. Lord, just out of gratitude, we want to give you these gifts, not to somehow pay you back or to earn our salvation. We could never do that. But just to worship you, to worship you with these tithes and offerings. We pray your blessing on this offering in Jesus' name. Amen.